From Hollywood, California, and in Allied Base in Australia, Autolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the Command Theater of the Air, starring Mr. Ronald Coleman, and his guest for tonight, Miss Maureen O'Sullivan. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, batteries, wire, cable, and electrical systems for automotive, aviation, and marine use. Now here's your host, Ronald Coleman.
Thank you and good evening. Tonight our guest is the lovely Maureen O'Sullivan. Together with Agnes Moorhead, we present J.M. Barrie's delightful comedy of manners, Quality Street. Later, we shall have a shortwave visit with two American soldiers stationed in Australia. To them, and to all the fighting men and women of the United Nations, we dedicate this global half hour.
Probably you've never heard of Milton Rowland of Addison, Ohio. Never saw his name or picture in the papers. Never heard him mentioned on the radio before now. We know him because he is a hero and because he used to work at the Autolite plant in Cincinnati making shell cases for the Army. A good, clean kid of 18 doing a good job. But Milt, as we used to call him, wanted to do more to speed victory, do more than make shell cases. And so he enlisted with the Army engineers and soon became a part of General Clark's army in Italy. Then a few weeks ago, the news came. We regret to inform you, awarded the Purple Heart posthumously. But we know Milton Rowland's spirit is with us, urging us to double and redouble our efforts, urging his father, who has taken his place at the plant, "Keep it up, Dad. The other boys need that equipment." Milton Rowland has inspired everyone in the Autolite Cincinnati plant. And to us, he will be forever a part of the men and women who make up Autolite.
Just for half an hour, shall we journey back into a bygone age? An age of airs and graces, when gay uniforms and fair ladies intermingled in the bravery of the dance. Of course, the minuet had not been supplanted by swing, nor the spinet by the saxophone. And as we peep into the little blue and white room of Susan and Phoebe Fossil in Quality Street, we observe its peaceful calm has not yet been ruffled by the arrival of the dashing Valentine Brown. Oh, it is true that through the low bay window, we catch a glimpse of the recruiting sergeant to remind us we are in the period of the Napoleonic Wars, and the gallant and strong are marching off to fight the Corsican ogre.
Are they not splendid in their red coats, off to the wars? Wave to them, Susan. Now, Sister Phoebe, what is it you have to tell me?
Susan, as I was walking home today, he was passing.
Oh, you mean Mr. Valentine Brown?
He offered me his escort. You know how dashing
he
is.
Oh, yes, indeed.
He said, "I have something I'm wishful to tell you, Miss Phoebe. Perhaps you can guess what it is."
Oh, go on.
To say I could guess, Sister, would have been unladylike, so I said, "Please not to tell me in the public thoroughfare." To which he instantly replied, "Then I shall call and tell you this afternoon."
Phoebe, such a genteel competency as he can offer.
Oh, I had no thought of that, dear. I was recalling our first meeting at the quadrille party. Miss Phoebe of the Ringlets, he called me.
Oh.
Oh, he was so amusing from the first. I'm thankful, Susan, that I too have a sense of humor. I'm exceedingly funny at times. Am I not, Susan?
Oh, yes, indeed. But he sees humor in the most unexpected things. I say something so ordinary, and I know not why he laughs, but it makes me feel quite witty. Now I'm to be left alone.
Susan, you must make my house your home, for I have something distressing to tell you.
You alarm me.
You know Mr. Brown advised us how to invest half of our money.
I know it gives us 8%.
Oh. Susan, all that money is lost.
Lost?
Something burst, dear, and then they absconded.
But Mr. Brown...
Oh, I've not advised him of it yet, for he will think it was his fault. But I shall tell him today.
But Mr. Brown...
Oh, he is a man of means. And if he is not proud to have my Susan in our house with us, I shall say at once, Mr. Brown, the door.
My dear sister.
Susan, dear.
Phoebe, I have a wedding gift for you.
Already?
It has been ready for a long time. I began it when you were not 10 years old and I was a young woman.
Oh.
I meant it for myself, Phoebe.
Susan, what was it?
It was a wedding gown, my dear.
Oh.
So long ago, Phoebe. He was very tall with brown hair. Oh, it was most foolish of me. But the wedding gown was never used.
Oh, Susan. I could not wear it.
My dear, the tears it was sown with long ago will all turn into smiles on my Phoebe's wedding day.
Miss Susan, how do you do, ma'am?
Sir.
Nay, Miss Phoebe, though we have met today already, I insist on shaking hands with you again.
Always so dashing.
Am I dashing, Miss Phoebe?
A little, I think.
Well, I have something to tell you today, which I really think is rather dashing.
I think I'd better leave you two alone now.
Oh, you're not going, ma'am, before you know what it is.
Indeed, to be sure, I know, Mr. Brown.
Oh, Susan.
I mean, I do not know. I mean, I can guess. Phoebe, my love, explain.
Well, the explanation being, I suppose, that you both know. And I had flattered myself to such a secret. Am I then to understand that you had foreseen it all, Miss Phoebe?
Oh, nay, sir. You must not ask that.
I believe in any case, it was you who first put it into my head.
Oh, I hope not.
Yes, your demure eyes flashed every time the war was mentioned. The little Quaker suddenly looked like a gallant boy in ringlets.
Mr. Brown, what is it you have to tell us?
That I have enlisted, Miss Phoebe.
Oh.
Did you surmise it was something else?
No. You are going to the wars?
To fight Napoleon.
Mr. Brown, is it a jest?
Ah, these stirring times, Miss Phoebe. He is but half a man who stays at home. I want to see whether I have any courage. And as to be an army surgeon does not appeal to me, it was enlist or remain behind.
I think you have done bravely.
We leave shortly for barracks, and I go to London tomorrow. So this is goodbye. Goodbye to dear Quality Street that thought me dashing. But I made friends in it, Miss Phoebe, of two very sweet ladies.
I sometimes feared that I was perhaps too dashing.
Ah, Miss Phoebe, you have been to me like a quiet, old-fashioned garden full of the flowers that Englishmen love best because they have known them the longest. The daisy that stands for innocence and the hyacinth for constancy and the modest violet and the rose. When I am far away, ma'am, I shall often think of Miss Phoebe's pretty soul, which is her garden, and shut my eyes and walk in it.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Have you... Is it... Oh, you seem so calm, Phoebe.
Susan, it is not what we expected, not at all. My dear, Mr. Brown has enlisted.
Oh!
He came to tell us that and to say goodbye.
Going away?
Yes.
Yes, am I not the ideal recruit, ma'am? A man without a wife or a mother or a sweetheart.
No sweetheart?
Well, have you one for me, Miss Susan?
We shall have to tell him now. Oh, you dreadful man. You will laugh and say it is just like Quality Street. But indeed, since I met you today, and you told me you had something to communicate, we have been puzzling what it could be, and we concluded that you were going to be married.
That is.
Oh, so like women, you know. We thought we perhaps knew her. We were even discussing what we should wear at the wedding.
Oh, I shall often think of this. I wonder who would have me, Miss Susan.
Oh.
But I must be off. And God bless you both.
Oh, you are going. I shall miss you very much, Mr. Brown.
There is one little matter. That investment I advised you to make, I am happy that it turned out so well.
But, Mr. Brown...
It was good of you to take all that trouble, sir. Accept our grateful thanks.
Oh, indeed. I am glad that you are so comfortably left. This little blue and white room and its dear inmates. May they be unchanged when I come back. Goodbye.
A misunderstanding. Just a mistake.
The money. Why did you not let me tell him that, at least?
So that he might offer to me out of pity, Susan.
Phoebe, how are we to live with a quarter and loaf at one and tenpence?
Susan, I think we should keep a little school.
You? School, mistress?
see the other ringlets? I shall hide the ringlets away in a cap like yours, Susan.
There were other gentlemen who were attracted by you, Phoebe. They will come again. Another.
Oh, don't ever speak to me of that anymore. Once, only a few days ago, I let him kiss me.
Well. Well. Oh, well, you could not prevent him.
It was raining. My face was wet. He said that's why he kissed me. Sister, I could bear all the rest, but I've been unladylike. My dear Captain Brown, this is the 490th letter that you will never receive. But I must write, because only in writing to you can I speak my heart. The 10th year, and school is still going badly. Susan does not really understand children. As for me, every one of these 10 years you have been away, I have missed you very much, Captain Brown. Missed you very much. So easy to write, knowing that you will never see the words. But if you were here... If you were here...
Phoebe, Phoebe, he's back.
Back?
Captain Brown.
No.
I saw him coming up the steps. Home after 10 years. Phoebe, what is the matter with you? Have you forgotten Captain Brown?
Oh, it's been very long. We shall be glad to welcome our old friend back, Susan.
Miss Susan, oh, there God. You are. And where is my Phoebe of the curly hair?
I am here, Captain Brown.
But I... Miss Phoebe, is it you?
Yes. I suppose I've changed very much.
Oh, no,
I've not worn well, Captain Brown.
Oh, we... But we are both older, Miss Phoebe.
But tell me of yourself. You're so proud of the way in which you won your commission.
Thank you, honey.
Will you leave the army now?
Yes. Yes, and I have some intention of pursuing again the old life in Quality Street.
Oh.
Yes. you know, I came here in such high spirits, Miss Phoebe.
A change in me depresses you.
Oh, no, no. I was in hopes that you and Miss Susan would be going to the Victory Ball. I had brought cards for you with me to make sure.
Now you see my dancing days are done.
Ah, no, no. You...
But you will find many charming partners. Some of them have been my pupils.
Oh, please, will you not come yourself?
Oh, no, I cannot. I wish you very happy at the ball, Captain Brown.
I... Thank you, Miss Phoebe. Good day.
Good day, Captain.
Phoebe? Phoebe, I heard. Oh, you must go to the ball.
Listen, I've lost all my luck.
No, Phoebe, no.
You thought I was old because I'm weary. Because I've had to work so hard. Is it a crime when a woman works hard?
Oh,
look at me, sister. Miss Phoebe was like a garden once. But 'tis a faded garden now.
If to be ladylike...
Oh, I'm tired of being ladylike. I'm a young woman still. I wish to be bright and thoughtless and merry. It's every woman's birthright to be petted and admired. I wish to be petted and admired. 10 years ago, I went to bed a young girl. And I woke with this cap on my head.
Oh, Phoebe.
It's not fair.
Phoebe, you who have always been so patient...
Oh, no, no, not always. Susan, I have a picture of myself as I used to be. Sometimes I look at it and say, poor girl, they have all forgotten you. But I remember.
I cannot recall such a picture.
I keep it locked away in my room. My room. Oh, Susan, it is there that the Phoebe you think so patient has the hardest fight with herself. I've heard her weeping and crying. Let me out of this prison. Give me back the years you have taken from me. Where are my pretty curls, she cried. Where is my youth? My youth.
Dear, dear sister, I cannot believe that you've actually come to the ball.
I am here.
You almost frightened me. You look so young, so pretty.
Oh, Susan, I do not know myself how it happened. I was so unhappy, and suddenly I put on the old gown again and tumbled my curls out of the cap. One dance, Susan, to Phoebe of the Ringlets, and I will put her away in her box and never look at her again.
I beg your pardon. May I? Why, it's Miss Susan.
Captain Brown.
And for a moment, I thought the lovely lady with you was Miss Phoebe.
I am Miss Phoebe's niece, sir.
Oh.
Niece? Aunt Susan, do not be angry with your Livy. Your niece, Livy, Aunt Susan. Oh.
I shall see to it, Miss Susan, that your niece has a charming ball.
He means he will find me sweet partners.
Nay, ma'am. I mean, I shall be your partner.
No, Phoebe, you can't. Aunt Phoebe would want me to. And if I say she does, you know she does.
But my dear.
Oh, my dear. Susan, why do you talk so much? One dance with the gallant Captain Brown, and then I will go back to dear Aunt Phoebe.
Livy?
Livy?
I did not know that Miss Susan had a niece. And wasn't it that dashing Captain Brown that brought her here? Then why does she dance with everyone, not with him?
Why, yes. Yes, she's my long-lost niece Olivia, come to take the place of my sister Phoebe, who I regret to say is now lying down at home with the headache.
By Jove, that's a lovely girl. Livy, you say? Miss Susan's niece?
Yes, she does look like Miss Phoebe, but much prettier. You might say beautiful. And isn't it amusing the way she's dangling the dashing Captain Brown at the end of her string? Oh, I say.
Oh, really, Captain Brown, you're the most vigorous man. First, almost against my will, I find myself dancing with you when the dance really belongs to Ensign Blaze. And then I find myself here in the garden.
You're an amazingly pretty girl, ma'am. But you're a shocking flirt.
La.
It has somewhat diverted me this evening to watch the men swarming around you. But really, in the interests of the man to whom you will be eventually affianced...
Affianced?
Yes, someday, Miss Livy, the right man will come. Oh. Now, how could you acquaint him with this poor sport of your light flirtation?
I see.
Believe me, Miss Livy, it is not the flaunting flower men love. How could you acquaint him with this poor sport of your light flirtation?
I see.
Believe me, Miss Livy, it is not the flaunting flower men love. It is the modest violet.
You dare to say that?
Yes, indeed. And when you know what love really is...
Love? What do you know of love?
But why, ma'am, I know all about it. I am in love, Miss Livy.
Oh, I wish you happy.
With a lady who was once very like you, ma'am.
Oh.
It is your Aunt Phoebe whom I love.
Oh, may I solicit, sir? For how long have you been attached to Miss Phoebe?
I want to be honest. Never in all that time had I thought myself in love. Your aunts were my dear friends, and while I was at the wars, we sometimes wrote to each other, but they were only friendly letters. I presume the affection was too placid to be love.
I think that would be Aunt Phoebe's opinion.
Yet I remember, before we went into action for the first time, I suppose the fear of death was on me. Some of them were making their wills. I have no near relatives. I left everything to these two ladies.
Oh, did you?
And when I returned a week ago and saw Miss Phoebe, grown so tired-looking and so poor, it filled me with a sudden passionate regret that I had not gone down in that first engagement. They would have been very comfortably left.
That was sweet and kind, but it was not love.
It is love now.
No, it is only pity.
It is love.
You really mean Phoebe? Tired, unattractive Phoebe?
I mean Phoebe of the fascinating, playful ways, whose ringlets were once as pretty as yours, ma'am.
Memory. Yes, that is the Phoebe you love. The bright girl of the past. Not the schoolmistress in her old maid's cap.
Ah, there you wrong me. For I have discovered for myself that the schoolmistress in her old maid's cap is the noblest Miss Phoebe of them all. Miss Livy, do you think there is any hope for me?
There was a man whom Miss Phoebe loved long ago. He did not love her.
Oh, now here was a fool.
He kissed her once.
But that man was a knave.
No, no, he was a good man. Only a little inconsiderate. She knows now that he has even forgotten he did it. I suppose men are like that.
Oh, no, Miss Libby, men are not like that. I am a very average man, but I thank God I am not like that.
It was you.
Did Miss Phoebe say that?
Yes. The face you love, Captain Brown. You were the first to give it pain.
I?
The tired eye. How much less tired they might be if they had never known you.
Oh, but I must speak with her, Miss Libby, with your help.
My help? I have not helped. I have tried to spoil it all.
By flirting with me or no? Now that I know Miss Phoebe loves me, I understand. Your flirtations have but made me the more complacent. That never in her life had Miss Phoebe been guilty of the slightest deviation from the strictest propriety. All this evening, I have been watching you, Miss Libby, and seeing in my mind her and the pretty things she did and you did not do. Why, ma'am, that is how I fell in love with Miss Phoebe here at the ball.
I hate her and despise her.
Miss Libby!
Oh, if you knew what she is, that paragon who has never been guilty of the slightest deviation from the strictest propriety.
Oh, Miss Libby, for shame. I devoutly hope these are the last words I shall ever address to you. Goodbye.
Libby, I mean Phoebe. Oh, sister, you have me so confused. I do not know what name to address you by. Where is Captain Brown? What did he say to you? Phoebe, answer me.
Oh, sister, he said it to me.
Said what? Oh, sister, speak. What terrible thing has he said to you?
Not terrible. Glorious.
Oh,
Susan, 'tis Phoebe he loves. 'Tis me, not Livy.
Oh.
He loves me. He loves me. Me, Phoebe.
Oh, dear sister.
Over this character of Livy that I've taken, how can I get rid of her?
I can send her away.
Oh, then I would have to go away. Oh, what shall I do?
Oh, it is all like algebra, taking something away from something and still leaving something. Oh, la, my poor head could never understand it.
So now, I must go back to teaching school again. Yes, that's it, sister. All my energies must be put into the school.
Oh.
Susan, write the announcement. The Mrs. Throttle have the pleasure to announce new courses in their school. Embroidery, algebra.
I refuse to write algebra. There is only one thing I can write. It writes itself in my head all day. Miss Susan Throttle presents her compliments and requests the honor of your presence at the nuptials of her sister Phoebe and Captain Valentine Brown.
Oh, that is not possible. After this night's disposition, that is not possible.
Why is it not possible, Miss Phoebe?
Captain Brown.
Oh, forgive me, but I must tell you this. Miss Livy will never trouble you any more. I have sent her home.
Sent her home? But how could you?
Miss Susan, I know all.
Oh, sister, he knows all.
Oh.
I know also that while men go away to fight great battles, women are left to fight small ones, loneliness and poverty. I dare ask your love no more, Miss Phoebe, but I still ask you to put yourself into my keeping.
Oh, please, I...
Miss Phoebe, if not for your own sake, then in memory of the thoughtless recruit who went off laughing to the war.
I beg you, no more.
Miss Phoebe, I warn you, you'll see me turn into a grumpy, crusty, bottle-nosed old bachelor.
Mr. Brown, but of course you must marry someone.
Then, by gad, Miss Phoebe, I shall have to carry you in my arms to the church.
Mr. Brown, but of course you must marry someone.
Then, by gad, Miss Phoebe, I shall have to carry you in my arms to the church.
Yes, sir, how could you?
Dear Phoebe Throssell, will you be Phoebe Brown?
Sir.
Yes.
Sir, the dictates of my heart enjoin me to accept your too flattering offer.
Oh, Phoebe, your face is wet. May I kiss you?
Oh, it's so dashing.
You have heard Ronald Coleman and Miss Maureen O'Sullivan in an adaptation of J.M. Barrie's Quality Street with Agnes Moorhead. The music was written and conducted by Gordon Jenkins. Our stars will return in a moment to speak by shortwave with two American soldiers at their base in Australia. But first, a word for you on the home front. The less you drive your car, the more attention the battery needs. And if you're driving weekends only, you've probably noticed this when you try to start your car. The battery seems to have lost its oomph. This is quite possible
because your car must be driven in order to keep the battery up to full strength. That's why the battery should receive attention every month. Drive in to your nearest Autolite service station, your local car dealer, or any reliable serviceman. They'll be glad to check the liquid level and test the battery's state of charge. Recharge it when necessary. Believe me, this regular checkup will help keep your battery up to par. And when you need a new battery, install a new Autolite battery. Autolite batteries are designed and built by people who know how to make long-lasting, power-packed batteries that are world-famous for dependability and performance. Remember, the name Autolite means precision manufacturing.
And now, Maureen, for our trip to the Antipodes.
You mean a shortwave visit down under, Ronnie?
Exactly. We'll have a chat with two American fighting men stationed in Australia. And incidentally, they're talented boys. Sergeant Patricelli is a playwright, and Corporal St. George is author of the best-selling G.I. book, Care of Postmaster.
Mr. Coleman, the circuit is being cleared to Australia.
All right, Maureen, put on this earphone, and we'll spin the globe with a couple of kangaroo leaps. Ready?
All set to leap.
Well, then here we go. This is Maureen O'Sullivan and Ronald Coleman calling Australia. Hollywood calling. Come in, fellows.
Okay, Hollywood. Corporal Thomas Richard St. George speaking, but just call me Ozzy.
Hello there, Ozzy.
And this is Sergeant Anthony Patricelli. Please make it Tony.
Greetings, Tony. This is Maureen O'Sullivan, so just call me whatever you want.
I'll call you beautiful.
And you're cute, too. I saw your picture on the jacket of your book.
Fellows, a bit of news from home. Ozzy, we called your family in Simpson, Minnesota.
And from the new popular song of the same name, it's Love, Love, Love.
Well, Mom and Dad, all my love to you, and hello to Phoebe.
You dedicated your book to Phoebe, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Maureen.
Well, the Phoebe I just played in Quality Street is dedicated to you.
Next to my sergeant, I love you best, Mrs. Sullivan.
Ozzy, after 8 months, your book is still among the bestsellers.
Yeah, everybody reads anything these days. Try writing a new one.
What's the new book about?
Well, I hope I won't have to live down another book, so I'm writing about New Guinea, where the natives can't read.
Ozzy, weren't you a writer before you went into the army?
In a way, I was on a newspaper. But it really started when I was ghostwriting for other students in school.
Ghostwriting in school?
Yeah, I got expelled for that. I dropped a ghost and became a live writer.
And now you're a correspondent on the Army paper, Yank. What are your plans after the war?
Oh, heck, I guess I'm in a rut. I'll just keep on writing.
Well, Ozzy, we'll all be looking forward to your new book.
Tony Patricelli, you're a writer, too?
Well, I used to write for radio in the States. I just sent a book to the publisher.
You're a member of General MacArthur's Public Relations Office, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I handle. That is sort of nurse along war correspondence in one language or another.
Uh-huh. Well, we understand you arrived in Australia December 1941 with the Flying Tigers.
Yes, sir, I guess I was one of the first Yanks to get here.
Australia must seem like home to you now, Tony.
It certainly does. I've been here a pretty long stretch. Besides, I married Sylvia down here, so I'm practically a native.
Tony, your mother is now living in Waterbury, Connecticut. She sends her love.
Sorry, Mr. Coleman. Is Mom listening in?
Yes, she is, and the whole family.
Oh, then I'd like to ask you a favor. Sylvia's right here. Could I introduce Mom to my wife?
Introduce your mother to your wife? Splendid. The air is all yours, Tony.
Thanks a lot.
Well, Mom, Sylvia is very beautiful, and she's a blonde, and she's an artist. Anyway, Mom, here's Sylvia.
Hello, Mother. It's wonderful to say hello and know you're listening. I hope we'll be able to get together soon.
Tell Mom about the new Patricelli.
Yes, Mother. She's my daughter. She's just a month old now, and she looks like your Tiny.
Oh, don't believe a word of it, Mom. She's just the image of Sylvia.
Tiny's a model, Father.
I don't know. Susan doesn't say much yet, but she has a very intelligent expression on her face.
Just like Tiny.
And she's beautiful like Sylvia. Say, Mr. Coleman, I hope we haven't taken up too much time.
Oh, not at all. Susan sounds superb. Say, we wish we had more time for this global family reunion.
We're sure your mother is happy to hear from both of you.
Time's up, Mr. Coleman.
Well, men, that's all for now.
And it's meant a lot to us, Mr. Coleman. Thank you.
Yes, sir. It's been great to say hello to the state. So long, and thanks, folks.
Good night, men, and good luck.
Good night, boys. God bless you.
The invasion is going to be a costly operation in machines, and more important, in men. The Army and Navy needs nurses as they never have needed them before. We appeal to all nurses to think of the probable cost in lives. The great majority of these may be saved if skilled nurses are available. Nurses, think of these men and register at your Red Cross chapter at the earliest possible moment.
Next week, Autolite cordially invites you to another program of Everything for the Boys, your new global half hour uniting the home front and the battle fronts overseas. Your host, Ronald Coleman, will have as his guest Miss Dinah Shore in an original radio play by Arch Obler, suggested by Earl Robinson's stirring song, The House I Live In, dedicated to a pair of fighting Yanks who will speak by shortwave from their base in England.
Our thanks to Maureen O'Sullivan. Until next week, when Dinah Shore will be our guest, this is Ronald Coleman saying goodnight to you and the boys, and God be with you.
Everything for the Boys is shortwaved all over the world. This is Frank Martin saying goodnight for Autolite.